This podcast will be looking at the different types of shock and how they come about. There are four different ways in which shock can occur, but before we go any further, maybe I ought to explain what shock is. Technically, it is the inability to supply enough oxygen and nutrients to the body's metabolic requirements. That is to say, the demand outstrips the supply. The different types of shock, then, are hypovolemic shock, vascular shock, cardiogenic shock, and neurogenic shock. We will start with hypovolemic shock, as it is probably the best well known. It is, as its name suggests, a situation where there is a low circulating volume of blood. This can be caused in a few different ways. Hemorrhage is probably the most commonly thought of, as blood is lost through damaged blood vessels, either out of the body or invisibly as internal bleeding due to trauma or surgery. Severe vomiting and diarrhea can also cause low blood volume, because although no blood has been lost, the fluid which makes up the blood plasma has been lost, and so it comes to the same ends. It is probably a good time to think about what factors are important in maintaining a flow of oxygen and nutrients to the body tissues. Having a good blood pressure is the key to this, as it is the pressure in the blood vessels which pushes out the fluid containing oxygen and nutrients to the surrounding cells to stop our cells from dying. Having enough fluid in the body is one factor which helps maintain blood pressure, so that when fluid is lost, there is not enough pressure to force out oxygen and nutrients to the tissue. So to summarise, having enough blood volume is important to maintain blood pressure. The second type of shock is vascular shock. It is not easy to guess what this is from the title, but it's similar to hypovolemic shock, where fluid is lost from the blood vessels. However, this occurs in a different way. Instead of leaving the blood vessel at a particular location, say due to injury like a stab wound to an artery, fluid can leave all along the blood vessels all over the body due to a process called inflammation. In shock, inflammation is triggered either by an infection, such as septic shock, or due to an allergic reaction, as in anaphylactic shock. The cells of the blood vessels become less closely connected to each other, causing small gaps to appear between cells. Fluid then from inside the blood vessels can leak out into the surrounding tissues and organs. Here again, fluid is lost from the blood vessels, which maintain blood pressure, and the pressure required to push out fluid containing oxygen and nutrients to cells, tissues and organs all around it is decreased. So, just to recap then, losing large amounts of fluid from the blood vessels can cause shock. The third type of shock is called cardiogenic shock. And as the name suggests, it involves the heart. The heart is the pumping force that circulates blood around the blood vessels, delivering oxygen and nutrients. If there is damage to the heart, it is unable to pump the blood in a way that creates enough pressure in the blood vessels to deliver oxygen and nutrients. Imagine a heating system that does not have a strong enough pump to deliver water to all the radiators, so that some of the radiators are warm halfway up the entire length of it. If, after a heart attack, there is not enough heart muscle remaining to pump the blood around adequately, then the blood pressure is not great enough to push out the fluid containing oxygen and nutrients, and cells will die. The last type of shock is neurogenic shock, which affects the blood vessel's ability to alter in diameter to create an adequate blood pressure. It is not enough to have a strong pump, adequate fluid in the blood, but the blood vessels need to be adjusted to create enough pressure to force out fluid to surrounding tissues. Neurogenic shock can be caused by a head injury, which damages the part of brainstem controlling blood vessel constriction. So there are four different types of shock involving loss of either fluid, an adequate pump, and the ability to alter blood vessel diameter, all of which help create enough blood pressure to deliver oxygen and nutrients to the body cells, which keeps the body functioning in a healthy way.